Let us pray. Blessed are you, Holy One, creator of all that is and all that ever will be. You sent your holy child, Jesus, to heal us and bless us, and to show us your love. After his suffering and death on the cross, he was still among us, proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins to all of those who call on his name. Just as you sent the power of the Holy Spirit to those who first believed, fill us now with your power and grace, that we may become the hands and feet, the heart and spirit of Christ. Amen. Friends, let us confess our sin before God and in the presence of one another. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, the Holy One enlightens the eyes of our hearts, that we may know the hope to which we are called. In the name of Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God, and let the church say, Amen. Please join me in singing the hymn, God Is Gone Up on High, number 181 in your hymnal, number 181.
You may take your seats. We'll let everybody who's coming in the door make their way in. It's good to see everybody this morning. I am Jonathan L. Walton, the Plummer Professor of Christian Morals and Pew C. Minister here in the Memorial Church, and I greet you with Jesus' joy. It is a real blessing and treat to share this Sunday with you. Whether I'm looking at your face this morning in the sanctuary or whether you're listening to us on Harvard Student Run Radio, we are glad that you took this day out to be with us. It is Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day, and therefore I would be remiss if I didn't say Happy Mother's Day to all of you who are here. It is a blessing and a joy. And thank you for spending your Mother's Day with us. I consider that no small feat, particularly for some of the mothers that I'm looking at right now. I see Cecily walking in the door right as I'm saying this. Good to see you. And I say that in part, and the reason I say it's good to see all the mothers here, because I know what this day can mean to so many of you. It's a day that you deserve to go into hiding. We wake up and you are just disappeared for 24 hours, and you have earned that right. And so if you're somewhere in hiding listening to us on the radio, we say Happy Mother's Day to you. But listen, at the same time, I also want to note that Mother's Day is also a day of mixed emotions for many. It's a day that we remember some of us who have maybe lost our mothers, some of us who may be estranged from our mothers, some of us who may have lost children, may be separated from children, are desiring to have children, and for whatever reason, biologically, that has not worked out the way that you've been praying. And so we understand that Mother's Day can also evoke a lot of mixed emotions. And so we also want you to know that whether you're listening to us or whether you're here with us this morning, and if you're separated or feelings of sorrow, that's okay. And we hold you in this community in our prayers on today. And we thank God that we have a community, that whether we are related biologically, that doesn't matter, because we're all related spiritually. And because we are related spiritually, we're able to hold one another up, and we're able to exercise and spread the gift of love that God gave us in our hearts. And that's what today is really about. It's celebrating that ability and that capacity to be a nurturing, positive presence in the life of somebody else. And so for that, we thank God for this Memorial Church community. To all of our seniors, our graduating seniors who are here with us for the last Sunday, getting ready for Senior Week, thank you. Thank you to our choir members, to our ushers, to our church school teachers. We're losing three senior church school teachers that have been with us for 4 years. We are so thankful for you and for all of our U choir members and for the ushers and for our graduate students. Chanel, I see you too, finishing up at the School of Design this year. And I just want to say, and I mean this, have fun this week. You've deserved it. This is Senior Week. Have fun. You have deserved it. You've earned it. Be safe. Be safe. Because we want to make sure that we see you put that diploma in hand on next week. And for the rest of us here, how can we say we love the Lord, who we've never, ever seen before, and then forget to say we love that person that we walk beside each and every day? I can't look upon your face and ignore God's love. Sophie, it's you I must embrace. You're my sister. Y'all are my brothers. And I love you with the love of the Lord. Please stand up wherever you are at this time and pass the peace of Christ. take our young people down to church school.
Ages 3 through 13.
Wow, great. Ages 3 through 13 heading to down the aisle. Everybody else can take their seats at this time. I also want to say, as Jane makes her way downstairs, Jane Moran and Brother Michael are seminarians who are graduating from Harvard Divinity School this year and moving on to their next steps in ministry. Let's make sure that we keep them held up in prayer, with appreciating all that they have contributed to this community over the last 3 years. It is our time that we honor God with the giving of our gifts. This is the time of the year where we are wrapping up. In June, it's the end of our fiscal year, and right now we are on track, I am proud to say, to have the best year financially in gifts and contributions that we've had in my 6 years here as the Plummer Professor. I am so happy and pleased, and that I believe it's an indication that you understand what it means for us to be a space of grace on this campus, that we are able to do what we do. We are able to provide what we provide in terms of ministries for students and intergenerational, whether it's our very youngest or whether it's offering space for our wonderful members of the retirement community that congregate here at the Memorial Church. All of it's made possible by your generosity, by your financial gifts. Listen, we have everything we need, all the resources we need to continue for generations to be blessed by the ministry of the Memorial Church. We have all of that money already. The problem is, it's just inside of your pockets. And so as the student ushers make their way forward, we ask that you would give as the Lord has blessed and prospered you to give. We thank God for you.
Thank you.
Please be seated. A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, beginning at the 44th verse. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we uphold the mothers in our midst today, those related to us by blood, and those you have placed in our lives to cover us and show us what it means to love and what it means to be wise. God, you know human relationships are complicated and often fractured. Hold tenderly those whose relationships with their mothers are not what they hope them to be. We also pray for those whose mothers are no longer with them. Hold us all in your hands and let us feel your all-encompassing love and care. And for those whose mothers are still making this journey of life, bless their bonds of relationship and meet all needs within it. Creator, we thank you today for loving us beyond measure, for your continuous pursuit of us, your finite, fallible, and fickle creation. Often, instead of honoring our responsibility as stewards of your creation, we take for granted its precious resources, letting our greed and callousness cause us to plunder it as if it all belonged to us. Forgive us, God, for a failure to remember that our number one job is to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, in the life of the university, we approach a time of celebration and gratitude. Grant to all who study and those who teach them the grace to love that which is worth loving, to know that which is worth knowing, to value what is most precious to you, and to reject whatever is evil in your eyes. Give them a true sense of judgment and the wisdom to see beneath the surface of things. May they search out and do what is pleasing to you. We also pray for those around us who need your care, O great provider, and ask that you would make of us your instrument of healing, peace, and redemption. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of the Ascension, that marvelous yet mysterious moment when the apostles were left looking towards the heavens in confusion, and yet reassured of their mission in this world, here and now. We too may never fully understand all that the Ascension means, Despite this fact, help us to hold fast to the great truth that the wonder of Jesus Christ goes far beyond what we can ever imagine, and in the faith that we may live each day to his glory and honor. Amen. Please join in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I don't know about you, but is there anything more discouraging than being told to wait? Who likes to wait? This can be especially difficult when you don't know when the waiting will end. And it's remarkable how far some of us will go to avoid that feeling of waiting. How far we'll go out of our way on a detour to avoid sitting in traffic. Or how quickly we'll whip out our cell phones when waiting for the tea to scroll through our news feeds to preoccupy our minds. I've often thought about Well, what is it about waiting that we are so uncomfortable with? Is it that we crave a sense of control in our lives? We don't like the feeling of being on someone else's timeline. There's a certain sense of vulnerability or helplessness in that. Is the train late? Well, there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to sit and wait. Or maybe we perceive waiting as a docile act. It's counterintuitive to how we've been programmed to operate. We are taught that time is money, so we must always be productive, always accomplishing something, always checking something off of the list. Or maybe it's because we have a deep desire for resolution. We desperately want to know what the next chapter has in store for us. We don't do well with ambiguity, especially in times of transition, such as when we lose a loved one, we face unemployment, we anticipate graduation, we await the birth of a child, or we expect the return of our Savior. And when we find ourselves in these uncomfortable moments, when we are left with me, myself, and I, it's easy for us to go on living our lives as if the world were a waiting room, flipping through magazines, changing channels on the television. We can fill our time with whatever is closest at hand. And this passive way of being does not require much of us. It does not demand much of our attention or energy. It leaves us completely free to concentrate on the concerns or the distractions of the moment. Yet we know waiting is not something that merely happens to us. We, in fact, do have agency in how we respond to the world around us. And we could wait as the psalmist waits. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. Indeed, it faints for you. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. It is a waiting that is pregnant with expectation. To illustrate the difference between passive and active waiting, a wise man once told me, a girl stands on a street corner, waiting for her bus to come, and she will experience one kind of waiting. But that same girl, standing on the same corner, hearing the sound of a parade that is just out of sight, will also wait. But this is a different kind of waiting, one full of hope, one where you stand on your tiptoes. My father has also told me, a fisherman finds it burdensome to wait for spring to arrive and for fishing season to begin. Yet once he is fishing, he doesn't find it a burden to wait for the trout to rise to his fly. In many ways, this waiting is delicious. In the dead of winter, the fisherman can do nothing but docilely wait for the time to pass. But at that pool of his favorite stream, his waiting is injected with an active sense of anticipation. And so in today's reading from the book of Acts, this is exactly where Jesus has left the apostles as he ascends into heaven. Waiting. Waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And they have a decision to make. Will they passively wait for the Holy Spirit to come to them? Or will they go out to seek that Spirit in the world? 40 days following Jesus' resurrection and appearance to the apostles, they all gather in Jerusalem. And the apostles begin to inquire. So Jesus, when will you restore the kingdom of Israel? It's almost as if they are saying, welcome. So we're so glad to have you back, but we're curious, when are we going to get to this show on the road? And in typical Jesus fashion, he doesn't provide a straight answer. Instead, he tells them, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. No one likes being told, now just wait. So you can only imagine how the apostles might have felt at that moment. They have come so far, yet the coming of God's kingdom feels so far away. And they have to trust in Jesus, in the news that the Spirit will come, but they're not quite sure how, and they're not quite sure when. And it's at this precise moment that Jesus ascends to heaven, leaving the apostles in media res, in the middle of the story. And it's a moment of fear and trembling, uncertainty and perplexity. For what is going to happen next? And if that's not bewildering enough, two men in white robes appear and stand with them as they watch Jesus ascend. And perhaps these two men have come to comfort them, yet they don't pacify the apostles or provide words of clarity or comfort. Instead, they ask the strange question, why do you stand up looking towards heaven? Well, why not? Wouldn't you? The mysterious men then direct the apostles to look towards the earth. In fact, their calling is to go from this place where they gaze into the clouds to places where they are called to be God's feet, hands, and ears. For it's easy to find God in a sunset or in the clouds or on a mountaintop. But what about seeing the divine in the grime on cement, in the stench of unbathed bodies, in the smog of a city skyline, in the midst of broken relationships? Beloved priest and theologian Henry Nouwen put it this way. How do we wait for God? We wait with patience. But patience does not mean passivity. Waiting patiently is not like waiting for the bus to come, or the rain to stop, or the sun to rise. It's an active waiting in which we live in the present moment to the full, in order to find that there are signs of the one that we have been waiting for. This story marks an important transitional moment in our biblical narrative. Moving from Jesus' resurrection to his ascension to the beginning of the church's mission in the world. Jesus' presence has transferred to the Holy Spirit and empowers the apostles with authority and vision. And these apostles are called to go out beyond their particular culture and circumstance to share the good news. Religion professor Douglas Farrow points out that the ascension is not so much about its physical act, but rather it's concerned with making space so that the mission of the church can begin. The ascension makes space for the apostles to turn their gaze from the personhood of Jesus and move towards going out to find his spirit at work in the world. And what's more, they, and also us, cannot control when or how the Spirit enters. It can come like a dove at Jesus' baptism, or like tongues of fire at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit enters whom and when and how it chooses. Jews and Gentiles, before and after baptism, accompanied by foreign or ecstatic languages. It's not restricted to any one way of speaking or to any particular location or even to a specific political leaning. And it's our duty as Christians to wait. And in that waiting, to pay attention to the world around us, to be of service to others, and to remain open-hearted to discern where God's Spirit is in our midst, even when it surprises us. We live in a time when it so often feels like our lives are out of our control and the world around us is something that is happening to us. And we may fail to grasp the wonder of God by living each day and without recognizing the miracle that it is. And in our passive waiting, we may not see how the smallness of our vision, the narrowness of our outlook, the weakness of our love, the nervousness of our witness is our repeated failure to recognize the fullness of God in the revelation of Christ. Yet, friends, this is one of the greatest challenges that it is to be a follower of Christ. For he is always calling us beyond what we expect of ourselves. He is always calling us to be in relationship with those beyond the familiar, to believe in a greater sense of justice than we have ever seen, and to share a love greater than our own. And we will not discover it by waiting to find it in heaven. It's our calling to find it and to share it right here, right now. Will you pray with me? God, we too watch the skies waiting for a glimpse of your dazzling grace. Yet you don't want us to be left staring at the clouds for too long. It's our turn to turn our attention to those around us. You call us to give witness in the midst of terror, anxiety, illness, death, and apathy. Empower us to be sources of your light and life and hope in this world, wherever courage and grace and love is needed. Amen.
Please stand as you are able to sing the hymn, Sing We of the Blessed Mother, hymn number 215, number 215.
Thank you.
standing as we prepare for the benediction, but I just wanted to let it be known that I wanted Reverend Sullivan to preach this morning because this is going to be the last time that we'll hear from her for a while. Because she is not, so there's two reasons I wanted to preach this morning. First was because we're not going to hear from her for a while, because she's not going to be with us first semester next academic year. And that's tied to the second reason that I wanted her to preach this morning. She's not going to be with us first semester next year because today is her first Mother's Day. Because her and her husband Colin are expecting a baby boy in August. And so she's going to be on maternity leave in the fall. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Please receive the benediction.
So as we go into this day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord grant you peace, now and always. Let the gathered people say, Amen.